Hi, and welcome back to Dating Funnies. Hey, as I promised last week, I've actually got a guest speaker this week. A recently divorced woman on the East Side. Now, when I say East Side, I'm talking about the East Side, what we call Bellevue, Redmond, Kirkland, Issaquah. We're east of Seattle by about 15, 20 minutes, depending upon whether you're driving during rush hour traffic or you're driving a year ago during pandemic traffic, whether it was nobody on the road. But I wanted to invite her to the podcast to maybe help others know what to do, what they may run into as a woman as they enter in this new world of dating and, of course, pandemic dating. So with that said, let's hear a little bit more from the East Side lady that's recently divorced. So tell me, if you would, how long have you been legally divorced?
Well, technically speaking, I have been divorced since beginning of February of this year.
Okay. So, and I ask that question that certain many people think just when they're separated that it's okay. And when they're not, and then it's a process, as we've all learned, to one thing to be separated and another thing to be really divorced, and it's just totally different. So when you're dating someone, you find out that they're separated, and even though they say, oh, I'll never go back to them, sometimes they do go back to them, and it leaves a person out there kind of hanging in the lurch. So you've been divorced since February of this year?
Correct.
And when did you start getting on the dating apps?
I think it was about December that we're in a pandemic. I was supposed to be divorced. The trial was supposed to be set for June of 2020.
Okay.
But because of the pandemic and the effect of that upon the court system, it kept getting pushed out. And we actually had to have a trial. Oh, dear. And so we were subject to that. So I've been separated since like the beginning of 2019, and yeah.
Did you date after when you separated? Did you go on any dating apps at that time or dating websites?
No. I mean, I just hung out with like some people I know that were guys. It really wasn't dating. There was a lot to do with the actual divorce and working out things. So I really wasn't in a mindset to be starting another relationship. So I didn't do that. Although personally, I knew for myself that I definitely wasn't going back into the relationship. So it wouldn't have been bad for another person in terms of them having to worry about me. I mean, they could have worried, but I knew I wasn't going back to my former spouse.
Right. And I understand for sure. So when you started the dating websites, your dating apps, because I really don't know where one goes today anyway. I mean, it wasn't until recently we started opening up. You know, for me, I'm starting to go to meetups again. But for the most part,
right,
Everybody's online, right? So what websites or apps did you turn to first?
Well, of course, Match, because Match, everyone knows about Match. And then also Bumble, because of the feature of the woman gets to make the first comment. And then also Zoosk, because supposedly there are more educated people there, although I have not really found that to be the case.
Oh, interesting. So tell me, what was kind of like your first initial experiences on Match?
There were some very interesting first experiences. There were two that were very interesting, you know, but I actually never met either of these people in person, which was good. So one of the first ones was, I'm just going to call these people by their geographic location, Spokane, which is about a 5-hour drive from where I live. And in my profile, it clearly says, not interested in long distance relationships, been there, done that, not doing that again. And so this guy messages me and says, saw you looking. And I'm like, I don't think I was. And I'm like, I think I'm geographically undesirable for you. And he's like, no. You know, are you going to come here or are you inviting me there? I'm like, my idea of a first date is like coffee, a walk. It is not like driving to Spokane to meet some guy. And so that just kind of went on like that with me kind of like, no, you know, not interested. I mean, he was good looking, he was educated, he was charming, but in kind of a creepy way. Like, he was sure that I was going to be his girlfriend based upon these two conversations.
So I have a question as a man, or even as a person on the dating website. How do you determine if someone's really good looking, charming, and all that stuff when you're just corresponding via email and you're looking at a profile? You're looking at it on the surface, assuming that all that information is correct, right?
Of course. Of course. And, you know, that's why you either have a Zoom call with them or you meet them for coffee, which is, you know, I'm happy to have coffee with, you know, most people in this world. So it's, you know, it's not ruining my life if it doesn't turn out to be any romantic interest if I have coffee with someone for an hour, because I like people. So right. To me, that's not a big thing. But I am not going to drive to Spokane.
I agree.
Like, there's guys here. I don't need to drive to Spokane.
People in my office used to give me a hard time and say, wow, you sure date a lot of people. I said, I'm not dating anyone. I'm meeting people for coffee to see if it's someone I want to see again or if they want to see me again, right?
Exactly.
And of course, now the pandemic's gotten in the way of all that. We'll get back to Match, but how has your experience been with Bumble?
You know, I really didn't like it that much, and I just don't know why. I just haven't met. I've met like three guys on it. One guy appeared to be super handsome, but somehow we didn't meet up, and then somehow I figured out that his ex was in prison. And I'm like, I'm not really interested in that. So that was weird. So, you know, my experience has not been that great. And, you know, I'm in my 50s, and so maybe it's for younger people, or maybe it's for guys that want younger women, or I don't know what, but it hasn't been great for me, but I would be willing to try it again. I'm not on the app currently because, you know, two apps give me more than I can deal with already.
So right now you're on Match and you're on Zeus. So right. How's Zeus working?
I've actually met two guys that I really like. Whether either of those will turn into a romance, I don't really know. But the thing I like about Match is that Zeus does not have this element, I guess, unless you pay extra for it. Is on Match, if you're just like, I just want a break from this, you can put yourself on essentially what I call do not disturb. And no one can see you. No one can see your profile unless you want them to, which I like that. Because sometimes you're just like, enough. I can't deal with any more people for a while. And Zeus has that, but you have to pay extra, and I haven't done that. I just feel like there's a lot of guys on Zeus, and I also feel like they give you people that are sometimes way too geographic. You know, like people from Hawaii are contacting me. I'm like, no. Are you kidding me?
Fine, there's a guy on Match, and I'm not on Zeus anymore. I used to be. I keep running into fake profiles and people that aren't geographically close by. So tell me a little bit about some of the people that you had met. You talked about some guy for his icebreaker. What was that conversation about?
Oh, yeah, that was bad. Oh, that was, I think, just yesterday. And, you know, I get all sorts of guys saying, you're beautiful, you're pretty, you're gorgeous, you're exquisite, blah, blah, blah. You know, just sort of complimentary, but not particularly personal or talking about any particular aspect of me that they find those things apply to. But yesterday, I mean, I'm not even going to tell you what the comment was, but it was, I'll tell you what the comment was.
Please do.
He said, I bet you are a wild cat in the sack.
And this was out of the gate or through a conversation?
This is like he liked me or smiled me. I said nothing back at all. And that was his comment. And I was a practicing lawyer for 20 years. I've heard lots of things, but that was the first time my jaw actually dropped. And I was like, I think I said to him, wow. And he says, well, I thought it'd be nice first thing in the morning to get a compliment. And he spelled compliment, C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T, which he didn't know is a odd pet peeve of mine when people misuse compliment. And so I just said, no thanks.
That and the spelling. I get a chuckle because I'll get emails from people and they'll spell cuz, C-U-Z. Or they'll change the phrase a little bit. I can almost tell instantly the way they phrase it that they're from some foreign country far, far away. So I sometimes correspond in a way to see how, if they're going to use proper language, they got the right dialect. I heard a deal the other day where someone put a period at the end of a sentence in a text message, and the person actually on the receiving end thought that that was passive-aggressive behavior, putting a period at the end of a sentence on a text message. So you never know how people are going to receive all this stuff. What about, you said you had a weird potential match, this Army person, stationed where again?
Oh, gosh, I've had more than one. I've had lots of military. I've not had them, but I've had them.
I think this is the one in Baghdad that you were talking about.
Oh yeah. I totally forgot about him. He just thought that he was in Baghdad and we were gonna have a relationship, I guess, over the internet. And I'm like, no thanks. And we'll all be back in a year. I'm like, yeah, no.
Now, have you had anybody ask you for money?
No, but I have asked a guy that wanted me to buy him a computer. That was another of my funny stories. He was supposedly a commercial interior designer and working on a project for Cyprus. And you know, I am not meeting this guy in person. I'm just texting him because you know it's harmless. And so he finishes his project. And he emails it to his client, and you know, this is his story. The next day, he is flying to Cyprus. Now, this is in the middle of the pandemic. I don't think you can actually get a plane ticket on less than 24 hours' notice. But I'm like, okay, whatever. I haven't bought the marriage license or anything like that. So it's all well and good. And so, the second day he's there, he's texting me. I'm like, oh, how was your day? He's like, terrible. I'm like, oh, sorry. And I'm like, what happened? He's like, my computer broke. I'm like, oh, that's terrible. And he's like, yeah, and they're telling me it's going to take 2 months to fix. I'm like, interesting. And I said, well, gee, I just bought myself a new computer yesterday. And he says, well, I'd like you to buy me one. And I said, I think you could get your employer or your client to, you know, forward you the money. Oh, it doesn't work that way. I said, oh, well, you know, I'm sure you can get a close friend to loan you some money. Oh, I'd like you to buy it. I'm like, no, not doing that. He's like, well, if you're not going to help, I do not want you to text me anymore. And I'm thinking, you think great. That I was going to?
Perfect. Go buy it on 90 days, same as cash at Best Buy. What the heck?
His only claim to fame is that in his pictures, he was quite handsome. And also, he was so handsome in his initial pictures that he sent me that I said, take a picture of yourself sitting at your computer right now. And he did.
Oh, well, that's good of him. At least he did that.
So he looked how he looked, but obviously he never went to Cyprus. He wasn't an interior designer, and he just wanted someone to buy him a computer. And he said, well, you know, I can make more money as a gigolo, which I'm sure he has investigated before.
Oh, of course. You know, people always say things that they secretly have done themselves, right? Projection, right?
So I'm sure he could make more money as a gigolo, but I was not about to be his client.
Maybe he should do that for a week or two so he can buy a computer.
I don't think he'd have to do it for that long.
All right. So you also talk about somebody that was, got one comment, to say the least, a little bit different. He was curious whether I got many interested men in meeting you because of your list. What's this list of yours? I'm curious too. What is the list that's floating around?
Basically, I mean, I am educated, intelligent, a professional, financially secure, independent. I travel a lot. I'm good looking. I'm fit. So, you know, I have some good attributes. I mean, I'm just being factual. And also, I am in my mid-50s, and my age range that I list of gentlemen that I am looking to date is from 50 to 62. And his question was, I'm just curious if men in that age range with that demographic are interested in dating women your age. And I'm like, what?
Well, I think the misconception out there, I ran into a lady once flying back from Tallahassee, and she happened to be a personal coach. We got to talking about dating and stuff. And she said, well, the problem that you have is that most women in your age range automatically assume that you want to date younger women. I said, well, that's interesting, because my whole take is, hey, I'm okay if you're a grandmother, just don't be a grandma. I want to go do stuff, right? Go have fun and stuff. So, but that's kind of stuck with me, because I think that a lot of that's true in that assumption. It might be more true in Arizona than it is up here. You know, maybe it's truer in Vegas or Florida than it is here, but I just thought that was an interesting perception, and maybe that's what he was getting at. But
well, certainly that's what he was getting at, but why would you ask someone that?
I agree. I mean, to me, it sounds like, you know, to me, the text or the emails are just to get to know each other just a little bit, and then go meet for a cup of coffee. And you could do that through social distance, walking along the waterfront, wearing a mask. And if they're not willing to do that, then why spend time emailing all day? I mean,
well, right, but also, I mean, don't start out with an essentially insulting comment.
Right.
Basically, why would men be interested in you? Wouldn't they want someone younger? I'm like, I'm sure many would, and I don't need to date them.
Yeah, exactly. So what are some of the other interesting things that you've run into thus far? And is it, and what's happened so far, obviously, in your wildest imagination, probably couldn't, would not, if some, like me, on my dating stories, a lot of people think, oh, yeah, that can't be real. You're just making this stuff up. What would you say to those people that think, oh, they're just making up these stories?
Yeah, no, there's there's not. I mean, there was one, I think the first guy I actually went on a date with, I know he was the first, because when I told him he was the first, he was very disappointed, because he's like, oh, no, you're going to need to compare and contrast me to all sorts of other people. And, you know, he was, like, he was madly in love with every aspect of me from the first second he met me, and I was like, this is just too much. Like, your hands are so lovely. I'm like, oh, this is just too much. So that was very odd. And then after the second, as we were leaving the restaurant from the second day, because he wasn't that weird on the first date, but he was weird on the second date, he was like, well, when are you going to invite me to your house? And I said, I don't really know. And surprisingly, we never got together again, and I was happy for that.
So, you know, I mentioned that in my last week's podcast, I talked about being a puppy dog, and I never really defined what that is. But a puppy dog is when you're just panting and you're so excited to be jumping on somebody. And it that might sound cute at first, but it's really repulsive in a lot of different ways, both for men and women, right?
If you're like a 6'2", 230-pound man, it's very odd.
It's very odd.
Dude, I had a boyfriend like that when I was young, and it wears off. There's also the guys that, the yacht owners. And as a funny aside, I get very seasick. So if you brag about your yacht, this is not something that I'm looking for. But the yacht owners are the recently retired yacht owners. They're like, I'm about to retire. I mean, I've had at least four of these guys. I'm about to retire, and I'm looking for someone, for some lady to go with me on my trip around the world on my yacht. And I'm thinking, number one, I get seasick. And number two, I have a life. I'm not going to just, like, take off with some dude on his yacht. So, I mean, I think that surprises me that men think that they're just going to meet someone, and they're going to be, I mean, I guess there's some percentage of women that would do that, but I'm like, no, thank you. Yeah, I have a life.
You know, what I run into as a man, it seems like women typically want men to do what they enjoy doing, and they're not really interested in what the man does. And to me, I mean, to meet somebody and go around the world would be crazy, but I just think there's a commonality somewhere along the way where you enjoy your time together, you do things apart, you come back together again, and you make it work, because that's how it's supposed to work. But
correct.
The expectations from people is, because I've had people in the past, oh, you drink wine, I don't, so we wouldn't be a good fit. Oh, you...
It's a beverage.
Exactly. You play golf and I don't, we wouldn't be a good match. Or you ski and I don't, wouldn't be a good match. It's like, well, you know, if we're trying to find Pandora's box, we'll just be forever chasing these people.
Right. No, that's silly.
What's the one thing that's on your list that somebody would either take offense to or say, wow, that's too hard to match? Do you have something like that?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because I remember one time.
My standards are just my standards. I wouldn't say they're high. I just, you know, I am not going to relate to someone that doesn't read books or doesn't like to be outside at all, or, you know, is really wants to go hunting every weekend. So, but I mean, I'm kind of the person that I like doing a variety of different things, and it has more to do with being with my friends and my family and, you know, anyone I'm dating than I have to do this one activity. I mean, there was one guy that I met and I went on a date with, and basically his hobbies were salsa dancing and like doing those like mud runs. And so if you didn't want to do those two things, I don't know what you would be doing with this guy. I'm not like that.
Yeah, so we all have that hurdle. So what advice, as we close out here, what advice would you give to someone that's just recently divorced, just getting started in the dating world and getting on these websites?
Just have fun, be safe, don't take it too seriously, and you learn as you date different people, you learn a lot about yourself and what you're looking for and what you're not looking for. And, you know, you get to meet a lot of interesting people, whether you actually end up having a relationship with them or not. So I would say just enjoy it and relax.
So are you having, and that's great advice. Are you having challenges meeting people through this pandemic, or is this all taking place during this pandemic?
It's all been during the pandemic, and I will be interested to see once. I mean, I've been lucky to get vaccinated early because, well, I know someone. I'll be interested to see if more people jump on as they are vaccinated, because I'm hoping that there's some really great quality guys out there that are just, because they're so smart, they've been being extra prudent, and they're not out there, and maybe they will appear in the next few months.
Yeah, well, wishful hoping, right? Exactly. You just never know.
It's good to be optimistic.
Well, for sure. Exactly. All right. Well, I appreciate you sharing your thoughts on this, and I agree, everyone, just approach it like meeting somebody new. Have fun. Don't be rude to people. Get back to people. And if they're not your cup of tea for whatever reason is, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Just go on to the next person.
Right. You just know. Tell them, I just don't think we're a match.
Right. I just don't see the connection. Right. I don't feel the connection. Although I will say, and I don't know if you've heard it one of my podcasts or not, but I met some people years ago that were in their late 60s when I was younger, and because people say, why don't you go out with older people? And so I went out with older, four coffee dates with four different women, and they all said the same. Well, you seem like a nice guy, easy to talk to, sounds like you might be fun to be with, but I just don't feel the connection. And I get that. However, if you're in your 60s, you might live to be 100, but after 80, what happens to most people in their 80s? They die. And most people, after 80, they don't look very good. They're not very active. So if you're going to spend the last 10, 11 years of a fully functional life chasing this, it has to be like magic, chasing each other forever. And I don't know if you heard my podcast about the couple that her son and his wife wanted her to date her dad, who is a widower, and she said no way. She had her list. He said no way. He had his list. They'd run into each other at holidays all the time, and the kids would keep coming back, and she was telling me about, my kids, they think I should date, blah, blah, blah. And this went on for like 2.5 years. Finally, one day, she said, you're not going to believe who I'm going out with on Friday night. I'm like, who? She goes, Stan. I'm like, Stan, the in-law? She goes, yeah. I thought you guys said no way. She goes, I still say no way, and he still says no way, but we're going to go on a date. So we go back to the kids and say, look, we went on a date, told her no connection, leave us alone. And they've been married now for 14 years, having the time of their life. So sometimes I think we all are guilty of, we have what we think we want, and it might be staring us right in the face, and we don't know it because we're, you know, we're all men and women alike. We've got this perceived image. And a good, compatible person could show up, and we're not paying attention enough to it. So it's
correct. I think that it's fine to have an idea of what you're looking for, but I also think you shouldn't close yourself off to meeting a wide variety of people. Like you said, just for coffee, it's not a big commitment. So I definitely have a good friend who's been married to her second husband for, you know, just celebrated her 23rd wedding anniversary, and she had a list of exactly what she was looking for when she was dating him, and he is totally not that list, and they are happy to right. not be happy. So you have your list as your parameters, but it shouldn't be ironclad. It should just be a guideline that you're constantly modifying.
Yeah, for sure. There's the key thing. You're constantly modifying, because even as you continue to move forward, you change as a person, and yes. So what you're looking for will change as well.
Yeah.
All right, well, I appreciate you coming on, being part of my podcast here, Dating Funnies. And for anyone else that's listening, if you'd like to be a guest of my podcast, email me at datingfunnies@gmail.com. That's DATINGFUNNIES. Or certainly email me with a story or two that you have to share, and I'm happy to share that with the listeners here on my podcast. So once again, thanks for listening to the podcast. And who knows what new stories we'll have for next week. Have a great week, and talk to you then.